Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Drummers Education Connection. I am here with four amazing people. First of all, down in Tucson, Arizona, is Chip Ritter. Down in San Diego is Rick Stojak. Up in the Bay Area is Jeremy Steinkohler. In honor of our 51st episode and Jeremy's 51st birthday today, we have one of the greatest drummers ever, the great Greg Bissonette. Greg, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Bart, you bet. I'm one of the world's drummers, one of the longest names in drums. But whose birthday is it? Is it Chip's birthday today?
It's Jeremy's. No, Jeremy's birthday.
Jeremy,
today.
How old again?
51.
Can we do a little song?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's Jeremy's birthday. Happy birthday.
Man, way to go. That's awesome. Hey, Jeremy, think about this. You just got a birthday song of the Beatles sang to you by a guy that plays with one of the Beatles. How cool is that?
I will cherish it always.
So anyway, people
are doing it, but it's me.
I'll take it, you know.
That is so awesome. I'm your booby prize.
Well, I don't think we need to do this introduction, but I'm going to anyhow. Everybody knows Greg. Greg played in, he went to North Texas University, played in the 1 o'clock jazz band, played with Maynard Ferguson. And Greg, you were on Live in San Francisco with Maynard Ferguson?
Thank you, Bart. Yes.
Okay. So live, then from there, David Lee Roth. You've played with Toto when Simon Phillips could not play because he had a back injury, right? He played with ELO. He's played with Joe Satriani, and he's played with so many people, Carlos Santana, and Greg plays with a Beatle. He plays in the Ringo Starr All-Stars band and so much more. And it is such an honor to have you on, Greg. Thank you so much.
Oh, Bart, thank you. I've known you a long time. You're a great friend and a great drummer.
Oh, thank you so much. So much.
Wait a minute.
Hey, listen.
You've been part a long time and you're still coming on the show?
I know. Chris Brady made me do it.
Oh, it's good. Chris is on the other side of the room. He's holding a gun to Greg's head right now. It's all.
when Chris was taking lessons, for those of you listeners, watchers, viewers that don't know, Chris Brady is a great drummer. He's also in relations at Aquarian Drumheads. But yeah. When he was my student, I said, man, if you grew your hair out kind of long and got those Jeff Porcaro glasses, you could look a lot like Jeff. You're a little taller, but, you know, it's about people skills. It's about getting out there. It's not just one Iana, two Iana anymore. And you don't laugh about that. Hi, Chris.
Chris is telling that story. And I love that picture that you gave him, that picture of you and Jeff. And I think he's holding his son, correct?
Yes, it was at the Mark Cranny drum benefit in the back of Guitar Center on Sunset. And Jeff wasn't playing, but he just wanted to show up with his son and just hang. I said, you should play. He goes, no, with that low voice. No, yo, man, I just want to listen. Like Vinny's playing, Bozio's playing, Steve Smith. I just want to hang and listen.
Oh, man, that's great. Hey, I have a question, and I'm going to start with this. I'm going to lead with some of the Ringo stuff, if that's okay. I got to ask this question. I know Chip's going to say, that's a Bart question. So I was watching one of Dom Famularo's videos a couple weeks ago, and he was interviewing Ronnie Tutt, right? And Ronnie Tutt, one of the great drummers of the world, played with Elvis Presley for many years. And then when Elvis passed away, he tells a story how he just went out on the road again, started working at a van with a band. And then he got a call to do an audition for Neil Diamond. And he was talking about how nervous he was when he went in on this audition for Neil Diamond. And I'm thinking to myself, God, you play for Elvis. But you're nervous on going on an audition with Neil Diamond. That just shows such humility, I thought.
Well, and so Neil, the Jewish Elvis. He's the nicest guy in the world, man. Neil, yeah. I'll tell you a story about Neil. My buddy who plays keyboards, his dad used to play with Neil. And my buddy just showed up at the sound check just to hang out because his father passed away. And he's hanging there and Neil looks at him and goes, wait a minute. are you so-and-so's son? He says, yeah. He says, are you a keyboard player too? And he goes, yeah. He says, I bet you're great because your dad was great. And he sits in and plays a little bit. Neil added another keyboard position on his tour and gave him the gig whole tour.
Man. Oh, that's amazing.
That's the kind of mensch Neil Diamond is. So Ronnie shouldn't have been nervous. And, and he kills it on that, killed it on that gig. So,
He did. Well, my question to you is this. This is my question. You played for David Lee Roth. You've done all this great stuff. When you got the – how did you get the gig with Ringo? And when you got the gig with Ringo, were you just like, oh, it's Ringo, you know, a Beatle? I mean, were you freaked out by that? What's it like working with the guy? How was that?
That's 10 questions, Bart. You only get to go one.
I told you.
Bart question.
I am still – now, that's a great question. I love it because I'm kind of a multitasker and I talk a lot, so you got to rein me in. But I'm still freaked out, even though he's a great friend of mine. And I've been playing double drums with him for 18 years now. Every time we play together, which we did a few weeks ago, he's got a new masterclass.com that I was able to help him host. And I still get freaked out because it's Ringo. When I was 7 years old, I saw the Beatles live. And he's the reason he and my dad, who was another of my drum heroes, my dad played drums in Detroit. My mom played jazz vibes in his band. And besides my dad, you know, he's the other reason that I play the drums. And so I'm still freaked out. How I got the gig, you know, it's about, I tell young drummers, you know, we're all educators here. Half the pie is how you play. The other half the pie is how do you do getting along with people? It's a people business, the music business. And it's not just how you play. It's, are you a complainer? Somebody that puts people down, or do you lift people up and look at the positive side? Like Louis Belson, a great friend of mine, the glass was always half full with Louis. So people skills are crucial. And I had sent many different messages to Ringo's producer on, I think, 4 of his albums, Mark Hudson. And I kept saying, come out and see our Beatle band. My brother and I, we have a tribute band. We play at this club called Cafe Cordial in Sherman Oaks. We do Beatles. We don't dress up in the suits, but we try to play exactly like the record. Ringo's the reason I play in a band and still wanted to play in a band and still play in a band. Please come out and hear the band. And he's a busy guy. He's producing a million bands, and he never made it out. But about midnight one night in 2003, I got a phone call. Greg, it's Mark Hudson, and I'm doing an album with Steven Tyler, and we need drums on a song right now. And I said, great, I'll be there at 10 in the morning. I'm about 45 minutes away from where his studio is. He said, we need you now. It's midnight. And if you show up right now, if you order by midnight tonight, Ron Kopach and Fisher. If you can get down here right now, you can use Ringo's drums. They're still set up.
Wow.
We'll be right there. And instead of doing Bruce Sugar, Ringo's engineer, was the engineer with Mark, and he was engineering. And I think he kind of recommended me to Mark too and said, no, he's a good guy. He's a good drummer. And Mark said, I'm sorry I never made it out to see your Beatle band. But I said, well, let's get some sounds. And as we all know, when you get sounds in the studio, usually it's this for 10 minutes. Yes. That's the key problem. You know, I got P-towels on all my drums right now, but the snare drum, let's go snare drum. Right now. I said, I'm not doing that, man. I'm going to play every Ringo beat I can think of.
Like a name that tune contest.
That's right.
So I played like a dozen Ringo grooves, and Mark came in the drum room. He says, okay, I knew you were a Beatle nut and you were a Ringo fan, but you really, really know Ringo's grooves. He says, you know what? If Ringo's son, Zach, who plays in The Who, if he can't do this next promo tour with Ringo and the Roundheads, not the All-Star Band, Ringo and the Roundheads, you got the gig.
Whoa.
And I said, wow, it works.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Well, he takes your word for it. He goes, he will. He says, because I know you've been going on around the world for 20, 30 years doing seminars about why Ringo is your favorite drummer and why he's the best song drummer ever and why his parts are so important. And so he said, does your brother Matt, does he have a Hofner? And I said, does Dolly Parton sleep on her back? I think so. Yeah, he has a Hofner. He goes, well, he'll get the gig too. So anyway, about a week later, he said, Zach Starkey's out with the Who. You got the gig. And tell your brother he's got the gig too. And I met Ringo the first time. My dad, who was my drum cartage guy for 18 years, my mom would read the Thomas Brothers. Okay, make a left on Vine. Make a right on Sunset. Go down to La Brea. And my dad would set the drums up. He came out. He goes, Greg, I just set your drums up 5 feet away from Ringo's line. Yeah. So when Ringo came I said, Ringo, thank you so much. I'm so honored. He gives me a hug. He says, I hear you've been doing seminars about how I play for the last 30 years of telling drummers how great I am. You got to be in the band. And Matt went to give him a handshake. He says, I'm a hugger. I give hugs. Well, we did, you know, Leno and Letterman and Conan and all those shows. And in 08, he let me be in the All-Star Band. And usually it was drummers with hit songs they sang, like Levon Helm from the band, The Weight, or it was Sheila E., you know, or Simon Kirk actually sang Can't Get Enough of Your Love at All Right Now, even though Paul Rogers sang him. He's got a great voice, and he represented Free and Bad Company. But I'm not going to go out there singing a David Lee Roth song or singing solo songs, you know. So he says, hey, I ran out of drummers with hit songs that I want in the band. You got the gig. Well, and that was in 08. So I've been in the All-Star Band now for 13 years.
Wow. That is absolutely fantastic, man. That is fantastic. You know, hey, go ahead, Rick.
Well, Greg, speaking of Ringo, I wanted to ask you about the new video, The Drum Together. The fundraiser, is it Why Hunger?
Yes.
That features, I saw it yesterday. My brother-in-law, Gene Hoagland, is on it. And
yes, he sounds great on there. Tell Gene I'm a big fan and he sounds fantastic.
Oh, man, that's going to make his day.
Oh, he's killing.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you guys have got to see it if you haven't seen it. And we're going to definitely post the video on Drummers Education Connection. But can you tell us about the recording of it and tell everybody about it?
Well, yeah, Dom Famularo spearheaded it. It's for Why Hunger. And so it's no wonder that Ringo said, yeah, I want to be a part of who doesn't want to be a part of Why Hunger, right? So
anyway,
Ringo, I think, just wanted to do it as a drum trio, where instead of him playing the whole beat, I think he wants to keep that as it is on the Beatles White Album. You know, he said, I'll go 2, 3, 4, 2, 3, 4. 2, 3, 4, 2, 3, 4. He said, why don't you and Jim do the other parts? So Jim, on his iPhone, recorded
Keltner.
Jim Keltner. Sorry. He went 1, 3, 4, 1, 3. He actually played it correctly. 3, 4, 3, 4, 4.
To
do the job, right? So there's a bit of a story here, because I think there's something like 104 drummers that play on this whole thing. But Ringo's thing, you know, it's his beat. He starts this off. Well, Ringo, Jim, and I kind of started off with 4 rounds of the Come Together beat. So for the last 18 years, since 2003, when I became really close friends with Ringo, he's told me many, many, many times, because he leads left, that he started on the floor tom and went up. Yeah. And all the years that I've studied and listened to Come Together and played it in bands, I hear, orally, I hear, tuka, 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 the pitch is going down. Well, I went deep, deep, deep into isolated tracks and panning and tea towels and tunings. And so I wanted to honor Ringo. George Harrison had bought him the Hollywood kit, which is the Ludwig kit maple that he used on the rooftop of Apple for Get Back. And that movie's coming out. The real Get Back movie of Let It Be is coming out around Thanksgiving. And Ringo's masterclass probably around that same time too. I'll tell you about that in a bit. But anyway, I added another tom to my normally 4-piece kit. And I said, I'm going to honor him and I'm going to go up. But I really hear those pitches going down. So I'm going to tune my floor tom the highest, keep the middle, rack tom the middle, and tune my top tom the lowest. So I go, and the pitch kind of goes down, and the panning is kind of close to the come together version. So anyway, I started with my left and went left, right, left, right, left, right, left, right, left, right. Because I think that's what Ringo would have done on a five-piece kit. He often does it on a four-piece. But anyway, it was a five-piece kit. So that's what I did on the Tom thing. I wanted to honor Ringo. There were no video cameras back then that were videoing him. You know, people didn't have their iPhone to go, let me check out Ringo and the studio playing Come Together. It's just what he remembers, right? And so we can listen, but he remembers doing that, and he's Ringo. So I wanted to honor him on that. On masterclass.com, I got to kind of help with a lot of the questions and things and interview him for masterclass.com. And I'd be behind the camera, and he'd be talking, and then he'd be on the drums, and I'd be asking him questions. And then Ringo and Jim Keltner and I played drum trio stuff, broke down a lot of beats, and I played trumpet on Topsy, his favorite drum song, Cozy Call. But we had a blast. And then we had an all-star group of musicians, Joe Walsh, Steve Lukather, Jim Cox, Nathan East, and Jim Keltner, Ringo and I. So we did a jam at the end. It's going to be a great masterclass. If any of you have ever checked out masterclass.com, they're going to have Ringo up there in a few months. So it's really, really great. A lot of insightful stuff on him. But I just had a four-piece kit, and I went, we did the same trio, boom, boom, I just did it going down on a four-piece kit. But anyway, thank you for watching that. Yeah, Why Hunger, Drum Together, Come Together. And I'm just so blown away that Ringo, you know, starts it off. It's so cool.
It's so hip.
Anyway, first one to actually, Randy Waldman, one of my favorite musicians and dear friends, he did an arrangement of Come Together that's sort of like his albums that Vinny plays on, where he takes TV show themes or movie themes and just, it's like Zappa meets Chick Corea. It's Randy Waldman. Well, he Randy Waldmanized this, and they sent me the basic track to play along with a click, and they sent me kind of a not so correct. It wasn't Chris Brady style. It was kind of just like a, it was kind of a spit out of like how a computer would write figures. And it wasn't right, because nobody, as much as I love a lot of the people that do drum books and drum notation, Chris and I, we do it old school. Kick drum is stems down. I don't want to read a thing where kick drums are stems up. That's like, wait a minute, that's computer. That's the shortcut to writing stuff out, stems up. Chris does it stems down, like the way I taught him when he was 16 years old. Kick drum is stems down. If you're writing a sextuplet, you can beam it all together. But for the most part, guys, put your kick drum stems down and your snare drum stems up. Write the tom stems up with circles around them on different staves, different staff, different notes of the staff. But make it like the old books always were when we learned to play. So anyway, I kind of took the computer stuff they had written and I just sharpied the heck out of it. And so I put them all on these big pieces of foam board. So there's my writing.
There's chart.
There it is. So I took their computer chart and a lot of incorrect rhythms and stuff, and I wrote in what the rhythms should be, and then I highlighted things that were really important. And it's a six-page deal, right? So this is what I was looking at. Anyway, it's much more like the way Chris and Brady and I would write charts. And so I was the first guy to play the first take, and Russ Miller was going to be responsible for mixing it, and Dakota, Dom Fabularo's nephew, was going to edit the videos together. I just said, Russ, you got a lot of work to do here. When all 104 drummers are going to be on this, you want me to, Dom wants me to play a pass by myself. Why don't you show up since you're going to be editing everything and you can help produce my track with me? He goes, okay. Mm-hmm. I played the first take, and then Russ took it home. He played the second take, and then I know it was sent out to Steve Gadd and to Dave Weckl and to Vinnie Colaiuta. So as far as I know, that's the core of who played the song. And then everybody else got to do what they wanted to do or do little drum solo things. There's 8-bar sections in the middle over that. Do an 8-bar breaks. But it's quite an extravaganza over Come Together. So it's really awesome. Bottom line is, hope it helps with world hunger.
That's right.
Hey, Greg, one of our friends, Jacob Sosa, says, I have to say this. Greg, I looked up to you a lot when I was in college, and you were an example to me to be a versatile drummer. I preach that to my students about having a good worldview of drums and having a good attitude. So thank you for being you. That's from Jacob Sosa.
Man, Jacob, thank you so much. What an honor. When I was a kid, I would pray, Lord, help me be a drummer that people know, and I can go around the world and play drums. Talk about your prayers being answered. Like I prayed about the Maynard gig and the David Lee Roth gig and the Ringo gig. I never dreamed he'd ask me to be on the All-Star Band. I don't have hits and stuff that I sang, but it's just the most fun ever to be there helping out with when he goes up front and then we do double drums. But Jacob, thank you. I'm glad I could make a difference. And I'm a huge fan of your uncle, man. What a ball player, Sammy. Republic.
Yeah.
Has he ever done steroids? Drumming steroids.
Oh, man. Jan Bass says, I love everything about you, Greg.
Jan, J-A-N Bass?
Jan.
Now, I know Jan Uvina, who's a drummer, right? Is Jan a woman?
No, Jan's a guy.
Jan's a guy. A lot of Jans I know are drummers. Jan Michael Vincent. Remember that actor?
Yeah. There you go.
My age. I'm 62. I'm too young for Medicare, too old for women to care.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Have you ever seen Mary Poppins? Do you have water?
Yeah. Yes.
Ed Wynn on Mary Poppins and Dick Van Dyke are talking, and someone tells a joke and it's not any good. And Ed Wynn says, there's nothing like a good joke. And that's nothing like a good joke.
Oh, by the way, Chris Brady said Airwolf.
Airwolf.
Airwolf. That's what he said, yeah.
How do you spell that?
A-I-R-W-O-L-F.
Sounds Airwolf. Like code.
I'm going to get him in the line right now because I don't know what that means. And that's an inside thing if I ever heard an inside thing. Airwolf.
Yeah, Airwolf. Call him up. Call him up. Let's put him on the spot and say, what
the heck
is Airwolf?
Put him on the spot. Call him.
Yeah. Now, let's see if he picks up, though.
He only picks up for, like, important people. So I might not get a pickup here.
He just explained. He said Jan Michael Vincent.
And I'm a pretty easy pickup. CB, what is
Jan Michael Vincent, Airwolf?
Oh, is he on? He's on.
What the heck is Airwolf?
Hey, what is Airwolf?
What's up, Chris?
Oh, Jan Michael Vincent, Airwolf. Chris Brady is a step ahead.
He's going to be on. Hey, guess what? Chris is on. We're interviewing him on the 26th.
You're on the 26th, CB.
Ernie Borgnine and Jan Michael Vincent. They have that.
He says Ernie Borgnine and Jan Michael Vincent. Only Chris would have a short, name for Ernest Borgnine.
Ernest Borgnine.
My buddy Ernie. I love it. Ernie Borgnine. It's kind of like Vincent Colaiuta. Ernie, Vinny, how you Vinny. Doing? Can you stay on the line with us?
Vinny, I just call him Vin.
Oh, Chris just calls him Vin.
Yeah, the Vin.
Like Vin Scully and Sammy Sosa. So stay on the line with us, Chris.
He can correct us. Tell him to ask him if he has any important work to do over at Aquarian today.
Do you have anything important to do to carry on the Roy Burns legacy, or are you just sitting here watching drummer podcasts all day?
I'm just watching my favorite drum teacher and four of my favorite artists.
He's
brother.
Oh, they can hear you. They love you.
That's awesome, man. That's fantastic. The show, so it went from the Greg Bissonette show to the Chris Brady show, and he's going to be on in 2 weeks, man.
I can't wait. You guys can talk about Stems Down.
Yeah, we will. Right, we're going to talk. Right. And because Chris has gone over a couple of my charts for me, and he always says that. He's like, Stems Down.
Stems Down, baby.
Yeah, man. That's it. Hey, so I got a question. Oh, is he still talking? Is Chris talking?
Well, you can stay on with us in case I have any questions. Are you cool with, or am I occupying space on your iPhone?
I can stay on. I could be your phone a friend.
He'll be my phone a friend. Okay.
It went from a drummer podcast to what's that taxi show, like the Million Dollar Taxi Show?
Yeah. I love that show.
Yeah, Cash Cab. This is Cash Drummer. This is Cash.
Your aunt is the silent partner that might chime in once in a while on Cash Cab here. Drum Cab. Okay, yeah. Bart, what drum you got?
So, I think Jeremy has a question. Jeremy.
I was just going to go deep down the rabbit hole of stems up and stems down, but probably our viewers don't really want to hear about that. But my question is for Chris. No, I'm just kidding.
Can you send me a 15-inch drum head?
There you go. You're getting pimped out on the drum heads now, Chris.
So stems down, when the foot pattern is doing an ostinato pattern, a regular repeating pattern, I always do stems down. But if it's involved in a linear pattern with the hands, I connect it to the top. What do you feel?
Well, even if it's a drum beat?
No, not if it's a regular groove.
If it's a groove, I want stems down. If it's connected like a back-a-dug-a-dug-a, that could be tuned up.
Yeah. Or like a linear, a Garibaldi thing where he does inserting the kick into a hand.
See, that's where we're different. But, hey, different strokes for different strokes. I saw David Garibaldi, for those of you. I saw him Saturday night at the Denton, Texas Jazz Festival. I was doing an event on Sunday for breast cancer, a drumathon.
That's my friend April Samuels.
April is so great. And so the night before I got in and heard David, and if I hear a linear pattern like Soul Vaccination, I still want stems down, but you know what, Jeremy, we're allowed to disagree.
No, that's where we're wrong. You're wrong, man. We just have to agree to disagree. I say it with my wife. I'm sorry, I said it wrong. It's my wife and I would say disagree to disagree.
Disagree to disagree, yeah, Chris.
There you go.
You know, this is this drummer's head. That's what Drummer's Education Connection is all about. It says a bunch of guys and girls who are drummers just talking drums, just hanging out. And that's how this was created.
There's lots of ways to hold your sticks and play with your heel up, heel down. There's lots, but the big thing is you got to start playing with musicians. So I get to go around the world for Dixon and for Sabian and Remo. Sorry, Chris. Remo, Vic Firth, DW double pedals, direct sound headphones. I go around the world and do these seminars telling people about my drums and about playing, and so many of them have never played with a bass player. They've never sat in a room and played with a bass player and a guitar player, let alone a big band or whatever. So you got to play with musicians. It's not just about posting some cool thing on YouTube and thinking that you're a great band drummer. You have to follow YouTube. Play in a band where the bass player's girlfriend just broke up with him and he's playing boom, boom, boom. Just a triple mocha choca latte yaya, and they're rushing. You got to be able to keep the tempo straight, play with other musicians. And the other big thing is, once you've played with other musicians and your time is real solid and you can play like my drum channel, I have my own school on Drum Channel.
There you go.
Greg Bisson at Drum School. We talk about vocabulary and how it's important to know different beats and fills and different styles. Once you've got a handle on that stuff, relate and address the second half of that pie, which is, do you like people? Do you like hanging out with people? Can you make people laugh? Can you make people feel good? Can you compliment them? If you ever have to address something weird like the time or like a figure, do it in private. Say, hey, Johnny Bag of Donuts, come here for a second. Why are you rushing like a madman? Don't do it in front of other people. Then you're going to have a confrontation. Don't talk about politics on the road. Don't get into weird, confrontational discussions about musical parts. Talk separately about things in the band. Lots of times the drummer is kind of the musical director by default, because you're the one that's counting off the tunes. You're the one that's really in control of the dynamics. But try to be someone people want to hang out with. There's lots of great drummers that have lost gigs because their people skills are non-existent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so true.
Right? Yeah, all kinds of musicians. I once had a rehearsal with a bass player, and there were some time issues. After we played the tune, he took the clock off the wall and walked around and held it in everybody's face. I was like,
"Hey, Greg,
what time is it?"
Yeah, right.
Hey, Greg, one of your students, Dan Lynch from California, says, "Please say hi to Greg for me."
Dan, thanks for watching, man.
That's fantastic.
Hey, I got a serious question for you. You said something earlier about praying for your Maynard gig and for another thing. I can't remember what you said.
Everything.
Oh, yeah. So Mike Clark, who was on here a few weeks ago, I don't know if you know Mike, he was talking about, also sort of visualizing, you know, what he's after, you know, and he talked about that on the Herbie gig and when he was recording Actual Proof. Is that something you do? You use visualization and sort of putting it out into the universe kind of thing, praying?
Nah, I'm not a visualization crystal, put it out in the universe guy. I pray to my creator. That's my thing. Mm-hmm. I go, hey, God, thanks for letting me be a drummer and be born into a family where my dad's a drummer and my mom plays vibes and my brother's my favorite bass player and my sister's a musician. And thanks for giving me these talents and letting my parents take me to lessons and letting me play drums and have band rehearsals. Please help me go to the next level. I love Maynard Ferguson. I'm a hack trumpet player, and Maynard's my hero. I really, if it's your will, God, and I'm going to use the G word, God, and I'm going to even use the J word, Jesus. I say, if it's your will, it's my will, and I'd sure love to do this. And we have free will, and you're allowed to do anything you want. You can rub two stones together and throw them in the pond, or you can visualize, or you can go to, you know, Roswell, New Mexico and look for aliens. You can do whatever you want to do. We have free will, but that's the way I do it. I pray to my creator and I ask constantly for help about raising my kids, about driving in LA traffic when everybody's high on edibles and staring at their iPhone. I pray about everything in my life. So I pray about Maynard's gig, Ringo's gig, David Lee Roth's gig, the ELO gig, about doing clinics, about getting back to work in a pandemic. I pray about everything. So I respect Mike Clark and his visualization. And I respect people that are into whatever they're into. People are equal in my eyes. We are all, in my eyes, God's creation. Someone that's homeless that doesn't have two pennies to rub together, or someone that lives in a mansion, or someone that's never played a gig, or someone that has the greatest gig ever. Man, if you're ever going to meet your heroes, don't geek out and go, they're going to walk away. If you just go, hey, Neil Peart, Ringo Starr, David Lee Roth, Maynard Ferguson, Carlos Santana, these are human beings. Yeah. We're all people. And everybody is equal. There's no one person that's better than the other person. We're all God's creation in my estimation, in my view, my belief. We're all God's people. And so there's no room for egos. There's no room for putting anybody down. And anybody can do whatever they want to do to have that get out of bed and make things happen. So, you know, I guess in a way I visualize because I played with every Maynard Ferguson album that was ever put out. And I kind of dreamed and wished and hoped that I could be playing. And I used to pretend that Buddy Rich broke his arm and I was being asked to play on Big Straight Face. Or I play with Beatles songs. And, you know, I never knew Ringo would have an all-star band. But I remember praying, oh God, I just got the gig with Maynard. And I just had the best year of my life playing with Maynard. But I don't want to be labeled a jazz big band guy. I'm in L.A. I want to be – my favorite kind of music is the Beatles. And I'd love to do some playing, you know, in a Beatley kind of way. Well, what happens? You know, I get to play drums with Ringo. And one day Paul McCartney comes in for Ringo's 70th, and he plays Birthday with us. You know, and Ringo was surprised, you know.
Oh, man.
And I'd really love to do a rock gig. And I remember listening – you know, Jesus says knock, you know, and asking, you know, you're supposed to have a communication. I think for me, I'm supposed to have a communication with my creator. And I said, I'd love to get a gig. And I was pretty visualizer or whatever you want to call it. I was pretty adamant. I said, I'd love to get a gig with Journey or Van Halen or Genesis. Well, Phil Collins is the drummer in Genesis, right? With Chester Thompson. Steve Smith was the drummer in Journey. Whip out your driver's license. Alex Van Halen. He's the drummer in Van Halen, you know. So what happens? David Lee Roth leaves Van Halen. And my buddy Myron Grombacher from Pat Benatar's band.
Pat Benatar.
Yeah, he's one of the best friends. He says, man, what do you want to do? And I said, well, I've already gotten to do one of my dreams playing with Maynard Ferguson. I'd love to get a rock gig. He said, we're going to get you a rock gig, just like that. He's from Youngstown, Ohio. He should be on your show. And I'm from Detroit. We're Midwesterners, kind of no BS, just – we're going to get you a rock gig. He recommends me to audition for Vinnie Vincent's band. Vinnie Vincent was the guitar player after Ace Frehley and Kiss. I don't get the gig with Vinnie Vincent, but he says, you'd be good for Dave Roth's band. And I said, who's Dave Roth? He said, David Lee Roth. I said, David Lee Roth's in Van Halen. He says, Not anymore. He just quit Van Halen. He's got his own band he's starting. He got Billy Sheehan to play bass. They just got Steve Vai to play guitar. I'm going to have you call Steve Vai and get an audition. And because of that, I get the gig with Dave. And then the same thing I've already told you about my praying for, you know, you can't just go, you know, help me God to do this tomorrow. And I feel like he gave me the talent, but I had to work on the talent. I still have to work on the talent. I teach a lot of drum lessons. I take a lot of drum lessons. Dave Illich, Jimmy Branley. I've had so many drummers come over and just jam. I want to learn. I watch all these great educational things on Drum Channel, and I really try to learn. But I'm working on it. And, you know, be the best drummer you can be the best person you can be. And, you know, if it's God's will for me, then I feel like, wow, what a blessing. So anyway, that's my shtick.
Hey, Greg, Neil LaFortune asked, Greg, can you talk about your time and study with Tony Williams?
Yeah.
A little bit about that.
So I was,
how did that come about?
Yeah. So I was roommates with Mark Cranny, one of my drum heroes and best friends. And I even have his high school drum head, Mark Cranny, right?
Right on.
So anyway, Mark and I are roommates, and I didn't know that he was really great friends back in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, like in high school probably, with Tony Williams' wife, Colleen. So anyway, I'm up in San Francisco recording. My brother and I were recording a Joe Satriani album, and I got BAM magazine, Bay Area Magazine. And I'm just thumbing through it. You know, it's like guitar overdubs or something. And a little dinky ad in the back page says, Tony Williams, accepting private drum students. And I thought, you got to be kidding me, man. Tony Williams. And there's a number there. And it's his number. So I call him and I leave him a message. Hey, Tony, this is Greg this and that. I'm a drummer in L.A. You are one of my all-time drum heroes. You pioneered fusion music. I've worn out my Miles copies of Four and More, Miles in the Sky. I went all around the world trying to find your kind of cymbals and hitting cymbals. Anyway, blah, blah, blah. I would love to take lessons with you if possible. Please call me. So I get home the next day, and we had these phone machines. And it's going,
yeah.
Your messages are full. And I played through my messages on the last message. Yo, Greg, it's Tony Williams. What? He says, I'm all filled up with lessons at the store where I'm teaching. But my wife knows your roommate and great pal, Mark Cranny. And she said, you're a good guy. So come on up. I'll teach you at my house. I call him up. And he goes, hey, man, come on up. He said, I got to tell you one thing, though. He says, I charge $100 an hour. I said, my accountant's $350 an hour. I want to hang with you. I'll take every couple of weeks, I would fly LAX, well, Burbank Airport to Oakland, back to Oakland. And I would rent a car and go to Tony's house and play drums with him. And he let me record all the lessons on DAT tapes. And he always told me those are for you. You paid for them. You know, they're not for you to. There was no such thing as posting or sharing them. But anyway, I have those lessons, and I learned so much from him. And
what did you study? Like, what was the approach?
Well, he had his new DW yellow kit with red hardware, double bass. And one time I took a kit because Joe Satriani and his producer said, bring a bunch of different kits. So my drum tech, Jay Rubin, rented a U-Haul and drove up, like, I don't know, five or six kits. We had a Bonham kit. We had a bebop kit. We had kind of a funk kit. We had all kinds of different kits. And I had this little 18-inch kick, 12-inch rack, 14-inch floor tom kit. And I put it in the rental car, and I drove it to Tony's house. And I said, Tony, I've got a little bebop kit in the car. Is there any way I could go out and grab it and set it up, and we could play double drums? And he said, oh, man, let's just use my kit, you know. And I pushed it. I tried one more time. I said, man, it would mean the world to me if I could get that kit and we could double drums. He goes, go get it. So I get it and I set it up, and we played double drums for about a half an hour. Wow. And afterwards, he said the nicest thing. He says, you know, man, I haven't played double drums with anybody since the early 60s with Max.
Max. Oh my.
He said, and that was fun. Well, I was asking him about his cymbal that he used on Four and More. He goes, you want to see that cymbal? I said, you have that cymbal still? And he goes, come out in the garage. And he shows me, and it was a spring, man. He hit that thing so much. He said, Max gave me this when I got the Miles gig. And he said, if you're going to hit this, man, hit it. And he said, I did. And it was just worn out. But he was asking me some things about double bass, because he had done Zildjian Day in Scotland, and Vinnie Colaiuta was playing, and he noticed Vinnie had a double pedal, and it was some really cool stuff. So he asked me about double pedal, and I said, well, he said, what do you do with the double bass? And I said, well, I do. He said, check this out, man. You can put your heel on the hi-hat and your left toe on the left pedal, and you can do triplets. So Dennis Chambers does that. That's where I ripped that from. We all rip stuff from everybody. 2 weeks later, I went and knocked on the door. Colleen said, oh, Tony's out in the guest house playing. I opened the door. Playing that lick on warp speed, man. He's following. I said, Tony, how'd you get that down so fast? And he said, I practice a lot. And he also, kind of to allude to Mike Clark's statement, he also was kind of one of those visualizers. He said, I willed my feet to do it. Well, that doesn't work for me. I can't will my feet to do something. Yeah. And everybody, to each their own, right? He's Tony Williams. He's Mike Clark. Hey, man, whatever works for you. I'm going to say I'm going to will my feet to play Thomas Hawker Meshuggah Bleed. Okay, I've been working on that. Now I'm going to work it. Will my hands to go. I can will it all I want. It's not going to work. Can you hold it? Can you hold it 1 second?
Is that Brady?
Chris Brady's still on.
Hello?
There you go.
Oh, my gosh. Guys, hold on 1 second. I'm
so sorry. Oh, my God.
Ringo's calling me. I'll be right back. Ringo, how are you, man?
Hold on just a second. We're on live with Greg Bissonette and Ringo Starr from the freaking Beatles call.
Oh my God.
That was Ringo.
Wow, it's Ringo.
Just so you guys know, I willed that to happen.
Yeah.
Okay. So, dude, think about this for just a second. We're in the middle of a podcast, and Bissonette says, you got to hold on because Ringo Starr's on the freaking phone.
Put Ringo on the line.
Yeah. And he played birthday for you, Jeremy. This has got to be the greatest birthday present ever. That was amazing.
Epic event.
Wow.
Amazing.
Ringo just called. That's okay. That's
oh my God.
Bitching. Now talk about that's cool. Now hold on. What did Greg said? Don't be freaked out and don't go crazy. That was cool. That was very hip.
Well,
don't
inside,
freak out.
You can go crazy. You say, hi, Mr. Starr. Nice to meet you.
Yeah. That would probably be one of those moments. Okay. I'll throw it to you first, Jeremy. Let's ask this while Greg's on the phone with Ringo Starr. What would you do what would you say to Ringo Starr if you got to meet him? What would you say? What would you ask? Elevator pitch.
Man, thank you so much. Thank you so much for the music. It's made all the world a difference to me in my life, and it's been a tremendous inspiration. So thank you for being you and doing what you've done and bringing that music, putting that music out into the world.
Cool. Rick, what would you say?
Also, can I have your autograph?
Yeah.
Selfie.
I definitely would just have to thank him. And let him know that his music is going to live forever, and that he's influenced so many people, and that I think he's one of the most brilliant drummers in the world. And all you have to do is try. You might listen to a Beatles song and say, oh, the drumming is simple. Well, go and just try to play a Beatles song,
and you'll
just see how complex it is and how clever it is.
Yep.
And for my money, he's one of the ultimate drummers, or one of the greatest drummers that ever lived.
Oh, completely. Chip, you, what would you say?
I'd probably say that thank you for inspiring so many drummers to pick up sticks.
Yeah.
There are so many people that have stories about seeing the Beatles and saying, that's what I want to do with my life. And, you know, thanks for inspiring music, for the music that inspired music.
Yeah, completely. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, what would you do with something like that? You know,
What about you, Bart?
Same thing. You know, mine would sound more like hiring. No, it's nice. You know,
oh, he's back.
Sorry about that. So guess why Ringo was calling me?
He was calling
okay. Now hold on.
Together.
This is what we were doing. We were just talking about like what when you went off. We were like, holy crap! Ringo Starr just called him. You know, I mean, that's a pretty big thing. And so we all just did the question of what would you do if you got to meet Ringo Starr? And we all gave our answer. And I was just giving mine. And these guys were all calm and cool. And my answer was I would probably say the same thing. I would just thank him for the music, but it would probably sound something like, hello, Mr. Starr. It's nice to meet you. But that goes along with what you were saying, Greg. And I gotta jump on this because one of the things that and everybody that's watching that has met you knows this, but I gotta reiterate it. I remember coming to your house, sitting in that room right there, I think I took three lessons from you, and I learned more in those three lessons about what I could not do, what I had to go home and practice. And I do remember the first one. I remember sitting down and kind of having that moment where I was like, I love your playing. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm playing across from Greg Bissonette. But then like 2 minutes into the lesson, you were just one of the guys and you were teaching me and we were playing and I learned
we're
so
all
much.
One of the guys.
Right. And
everyone on this planet.
Right. And that's what I learned so much from you. And I want to tie this together because we talked about that with Ringo and Chris Brady. We had him on the phone and having a laugh there and stuff. But one of the things since this is a drummer's education thing, we talk about everything on here, endorsements, everything. One of the reasons that I have an endorsement deal with Gretsch Drums is because of you, because something you told me, right? You were very helpful and instrumental in helping me get my endorsements. And we just had Chris Brady on, who's an A&R guy for Aquarium and our dear friend. What would you just say to anybody out there that's seeking endorsements, that's trying to get an endorsement? What would be the piece of advice you would give them?
Then it's a whole different ballgame in 2021.
Yes, sir.
It was in 1982 when I was trying to get endorsements. And then a lot has changed. And then, unfortunately, playing video games is way higher on the list than playing drums. And drum sales and cymbal sales and stick sales and head sales are in the tank. And that's just the truth.
Yep.
And people, we need a new Beatles on the scene, man. We need like Nandi Bushell and... you know, we need something, man, because the reason people can't get endorsements now is because drums aren't selling. Cymbals aren't selling. Maybe electronic drums are selling a little bit, but it's not a great time. And a lot of things like these wonderful phones that I have here and a lot of things have taken our time away. And you can maybe, if you've got a gazillion hits on your social media, or maybe if you're, you know, playing with the next Foo Fighters or something, you know, but I've recommended so many friends of mine in the last 5 years to companies for endorsements, and they're letting people go. They're not bringing people on. Don't you want to know why Ringo called me?
We do.
Wait. He called you to see how he could get on our show.
He did. He wants to come on. I said, I don't have any space for you.
We'll see if we can fit him in next month sometime.
He said it's too late. So he's not doing it.
Yeah.
What did Ringo say? What did he say?
Yeah, what did Ringo want?
Chip asks me. He was calling me to congratulate me on doing a great job on the Come Together.
There you go.
He said, I really loved the way we started it out. And he said he loved all the drummers. And he said, what a great cause. So anyway, that's why.
That's awesome.
Well, Greg, we'll put it out there right now. If Ringo ever wants to come on, if you want to come on with Ringo, we would love to talk all about that endeavor.
Can I tell you something real quick, Rick?
Yeah.
When I got the gig in Ringo and the All-Star, in Ringo and the Roundheads in 03 with my brother, Ringo's manager said, if you want to last a long time in Ringo's band, never ask him to do anything. Not an interview. And there were no podcasts.
Yeah.
Knock on his door and say, could you meet my long lost pal from the seventh grade? And I've never gone down that road.
Yeah.
I've been his great friend and since 03 and in the All-Star band since 08 because I just don't go there. He's a Beatle, man. He's Ringo.
Yeah, I get it, man. I get it.
But yeah. Anyway, sorry, Rick.
Well, his World Hunger endeavor is huge and making such a difference, you know, and a man like that is just giving so much to the world. So God knows his time is precious, but well, he gives, you know, so much.
Greg, what you said when you went off the screen for a minute was we were talking, what would we say to Ringo if we got to meet him? And every one of us was just like, thank you. That was the core of it. Like, thank you for the music and thank you for the inspiration and, you know, how what you put out into the world has affected us and inspired us and changed our lives. So we're eternally grateful to the man. And
if you ever meet him, that is the best thing to say. That's what I say all the time.
Yeah.
He gets it, man. He really gets it. You know, he came from very humble beginnings and, you know, he was a child that spent a lot of time in the hospital and, wait till you guys see his masterclass. He talks about things that you've never heard him talk about with the drum.
Greg, how do we find that masterclass again? Please let us know. How do we find that?
Well, it's not something you find right yet because it's not edited and not out yet. But there's a company. It's kind of real high end, like Samuel Jackson, Carlos Santana, Alicia Keys, Herbie Hancock, Hans Zimmer, like chefs and acting coaches and people that are like really the best golfers, the best of their game. And so it's not cheap, but you sign on to masterclass.com.
Okay.
And you buy a year. I don't know if it's $120 or $180 and you get these masterclasses from people you want to watch.
Right on.
This will probably be out. I don't know. November. I don't know for sure when.
Matt, I know you're very involved with the Drum Channel and you want to talk about that. Do you have classes on there as well, Greg? Is that
absolutely master? For the last 10 years I've been filming classes with my dear friend Don Lombardi. And yeah, it's up and running. It's called the Greg Bissonette Drum School on the Drum Channel.
Are you accepting students?
From your official website, you can find that on Drum Channel.
You can go to my website, myname.com. You can go to Drum Channel. Or you can just type in. Yeah, but what you can do, if you're out there watching and you would like to take private lessons with me, either in person or on FaceTime or Zoom or Skype or Google Meet or whatever you got, go send an email to the guy that organizes it all for me. His name is Frank. He's the engineer that also I do all my tracks with. People around the world send him files and we do tracks.
Right on.
So just email this guy. His name is Frank. Frank Rosato, R-O-S-A-T-O. And the email address is Greg, G-R-E-G-G, drums, D-R-U-M-S, the number 2, at gmail.com. Greg with 2 G's, drums, gregdrums2 at gmail.com. And then he'll get back to you, and he'll schedule the lessons.
And Greg, where are you located?
I live in Southern California, in L.A.
And you are doing in-person lessons at your studio at your house?
I have a drum room where I do drum lessons, yeah.
Okay, so
drum lessons in person, or if you're in Tuna Fish, Wyoming, or Shanghai, China, you know.
Wyoming.
That's awesome.
My favorite
place. Hey, Greg Bissonette, is it true, do you still have a Chip Ritter snow globe?
I have some snow globes. But most of them are like Christmas scenes like the kids meeting Santa Claus and the snow's coming down. But
Dan said he gave you one.
Then I would never throw away a snow globe.
I know. All right, good. Then you still have it.
Never throw away. Never ask Ringo to do anything and never throw away a snow globe.
Those are the two rules
for getting through life, right?
Yes.
Don't throw away a snow globe. Greg, what's coming up next in your future? What's the next thing you'd like to focus on?
I'm going to go to Crunch Fitness where there's 7 lanes and I'm going to swim for an hour in an 85-degree saltwater pool as soon as I'm done.
Nice.
Wow.
Then I'm going to get on the Life Cycle bike and I'm going to watch, hopefully, the Red Sox beat the Yankees. And hopefully tomorrow I'm going to watch the Dodgers beat the Cardinals in a 1-game wild card. It should be, if we're going to have wild card games, they should be series, like 3 games. 1 game is just, anybody can win or lose a ball game.
Agree.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
I'm a huge Dodger fan. I have to say, I'd be a lot better drummer if for the last 6.5 years I would have been practicing more. I have not missed one Dodger game, either on my MLB.com app or on Spectrum Sports Channel 68 on my life cycle bike, or going to the games, thanks to my great friend Jerry Turner, who is with the Dodgers but is a great drummer too. If I have not missed one game in 6.5 years.
No kidding.
And they're like 2.5 to 3 hours long.
Man, that's
I'm sugar a lot. Meshuggah a lot better now. Afro-Cuban lessons. Yeah, but I love baseball. Baseball is the great American pastime. I'm just not somebody that watches the news anymore. I pretty much gave up on the news and like listening to KNX 1070, all you need to know. I don't want to know it. I want to. For me, it's God, my kids, my family, my friends, playing drums with Ringo, playing drums and the Dodgers. And that makes me happy, and swimming. And that's it, man. I can't really make a difference like I thought I could when it came to things. I mean, I can donate and I can do world hunger and all that, but I'm just not going to stress about the stuff. If I'm 62 and I could last another, let's say, 38 years and be 100 and keep playing the drums, that's what I want to do, man. So,
man, that's fantastic. Right on. That's great. Hey, so things are kind of starting to sort of get back to normal. We're all working a little bit, playing. I just got home from some shows. Do you have anything lined up? Are you going out on tour anytime soon with any bands? I know you said you did some clinics. So do you have any tours coming up or anything like that?
I'm going to go on a Ringo tour next year.
You are? Okay.
Yeah. And all the ticket buyers that sold out for 2020 that were postponed to 2021 have now been postponed to 2022. So we will be out on the road next year, I hope and pray. And I'm playing all the time. I do a lot of sessions, a lot of recording sessions. I'm doing a session with my brother on Friday for a Latin album that should be really super fun. Christian Mayer, this great Latin artist, done a couple albums with him. I'm doing another thing tomorrow at a place called East West, a great studio for Tetsuya Moriguchi. He's an Irish guy. No, just kidding. He's Japanese. And I've done a million Japanese albums with him over the years. So he's flying from Tokyo to produce this album. And I'm not sure who's all playing on it, but it should be pretty fun. I've gotten to do some Family Guy and American Dad sessions down at Fox, the big Fox. That's like the size of a Ralph's, you know, with the 100-piece orchestra. Anyway, yeah, I'm working. And anybody that tells you, yeah, I'm working more than ever, things are great. No, nobody's working more than ever. This has really been a major bummer with a capital B. But I'm hopeful that, you know, I'm going to be working a lot more, touring a lot more.
You do a lot of voiceover work too. Yes. The matter of fact, what the Pechanga, right? That's the one commercial you did.
Close.
Paula.
No, starts with an M.
Morongo.
There's so much to do at Morongo. Good. There you go. I've never seen that.
You know what? Every time that commercial comes on, my wife Leah, she goes, "Hey, Greg's on TV," and I hear Morongo.
Yeah, I love doing voiceover stuff. Yeah. Years ago, I got to be doing a lot of stuff, subbing for the guy Jim Cummings, who does Winnie the Pooh's voice, and he was subbing for the guy that passed away, Sterling Holloway, the original Winnie the Pooh voice. And I'm transcribing this Winnie the Pooh stuff with Sterling Holloway and with Jim Cummings and I'm putting like musical dynamics, like little staccatos and dynamics and ups and downs. And I just say, man, I used to just transcribe Vinny, but now I transcribe Vinny and Winnie.
Jeremy asked, stems up or stems down on Winnie the Pooh?
Always stems down. Negative guy. Oh, bother. He'd be stems down. And Winnie's the eternal optimist, so he'd be the snare drum, stems up.
Stems up. There you go. Wow. Okay. Let's do this. This has been an amazing, amazing hour, Greg. Thank you so much. We got Chris Brady on the phone. Ringo Starr called. I mean, what a fantastic podcast.
Well, he didn't call because he knew I was doing a podcast. He called to say he really loved Why Hunger. Drum Together, what a cool name for coming yeah, right. Drum Together, right? No, right. But you guys are all awesome. And Bart, I've known you for such a long time. You're one of my favorite people, not just favorite players, but favorite people. Every time I see you, you're what I want to be. You're a bright light. You know, you really are. We got to be bright lights. Why have a lamp in a room and put a towel over it? Take the towel off. Be a bright light. Shine out there and try to make a difference just in the way, drummers, just in the way you treat people in your band or at a club or at a bar or at a church or at a high school dance. Just try to be a light, man. That's all we can do.
Beautiful.
Man, that's right. Great. And that's right. A high compliment. Thank you so much, Greg. That's awesome. Greg, thank you for coming on the show. Thank you for spending an hour with Drummers Education Connection. Is there anything that you want to plug that we didn't get to talk about before we go?
Well, I have a CD that my brother did. It's called Warning Will Robinson. Please, if you can buy it on CD Baby or iTunes or Spotify. My brother, Matt, is my favorite bass player and favorite songwriter and dear, dear best pal. We also have a new band called The Redcoats, R-E-D-D-C-O-A-T-S, The Redcoats. And that's my brother's writing and him playing bass and singing, Andy Timmons on guitar, Wally Minko on keyboards, Mike Medina on percussion, and I'm playing drums. That's a really fun album. Yeah, The Redcoats. Check that out if you can. And
check that out.
And probably before Christmas, go on masterclass.com and enjoy the things that you didn't, you might have thought you knew, but you didn't know about Ringo's starting out, you know, how he started out on drums and his masterclass. Ringo Starr's masterclass.
Cool.
Fantastic. Right on. Thank you so much, Greg.
It's been an honor. Thank you so much for coming on, man. Really appreciate you.
Yes, Greg. And one thing for sure, Ringo picked the right drummer when he
Heck
hired
yeah.
you.
Yeah. Heck yeah, dude, well, for sure.
I appreciate that so much. Nothing could be, there could be no cooler gig, man. That's just like, and he's the greatest guy too. And he's taught me so many things, not just about drumming, but he's so healthy. I mean, the way he eats, and he doesn't eat sugar. He drinks like high alkaline water, watches what he eats, exercises a lot. He's got ripped abs and cut arms, and he's 81 years young. So,
man, I love that.
He's amazing. So thank you guys.
Oh, man, that's great. Well, Greg, thank you so much. This has just been a real treat and a real joy. Thank you guys for watching and tuning in. You can check it out if you didn't get to see the whole thing and you're watching the end of it now on Drummers Education Connection YouTube. Greg, play us out. Go.
Okay, I'll do Name That Tune.
Okay.
Offer Teacher.
Offer Teacher.
Offer Teacher.
Offer Teacher.
Rosanna.
Rock and roll.
Come together. Ticket to ride. Take five.
No.
YYZ.
YYZ. Yep. Wipe out. Sing.
You guys are too good.
Hey, you know what? You remember that drum clinic? It was Chris Brady. It was the LA drum show, and Chris and I helped you set up that drum set, and you had a drum head, and you had all these names or something on it, and all these intros, and you were tuning your tom really high, and you did Copeland stuff. You did, man, that guy played everything, everything.
Nothing against Chris Brady or Roy Burns, but I'm a Remo guy. And nothing about a Remo Ambassador coded head, like being able to take a Sharpie, and there you just write everything on it.
Yeah.
I'm sure Aquarian has a similar white head that's coded. So you take the Sharpie that every drummer needs to have, and you just write all your notes on your drum heads. You're going to change them anyway. So anyway, change those heads a lot, because – Then the companies will sell more drum heads.
There you go.
I didn't mean to bag on sales being down. I'm just telling the truth. We have a summer NAMM show. Summer NAMM show in June.
Yep.
Things are a little different, but we will always sell drums. There will always be like a Nandi Bushell, who's 11 years old, who sparks people that don't have any interest in drums to play drums. young girl drummers. There will all, we have to pass the torch. We have to keep people interested in playing drums. And I think drum sales will start to come up again, but it's just been a little bit of a tough time, but it's coming back.
It's coming back. It's been a, there was a bump in the road. There was a mountain in the middle of the road, not a bump, but we're making it over. We're
cresting. It wasn't a showstopper, but it sure slowed them down.
Yeah, that's for sure, man. That's for sure.
Thank you so much, Greg.
Thanks so much, everybody. Thanks, everybody, for watching.
Thank
Greg
you,
Bissonette, you're the best of the best. We'll talk to you soon.
See you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye. See you, man.